Welcome to the Portland Christian Center Podcast. This week, we'll hear from Pastor Bill Wilson on fellowship. Now here is Pastor Bill.
Welcome home. Hey, this past week, the board of Portland Christian Center met, the new board that has been put together. And they selected Leroy Moody to be the new chair of the board, and we congratulate him on that. Greg Inman has served for the last year as the interim chair, and he is going to resume his role as secretary of the board. And thanks to Greg Inman, who has spent literally hours each week serving this church behind the scenes, phone calls, conversations. I've gotten to talk to him at least two or three times a week. We're like brothers now, so... In any case, and I performed their wedding too, so that, wow. They are in serious conversation with a couple now. The reason we don't tell you their name is because they're still pastoring in another church, so that would create a little bit of uniqueness, and we try to avoid that as much as we can, but as they move forward in that conversation, we'll see what the Lord has, and they'll be happy to share that with you right away. Well, I have a three-hour sermon here. You're laughing, aren't you? I preached it to myself several times, and I said, there's more that I should add, so I start writing. But I have a plane to catch this afternoon. I've got to fly to Springfield, Missouri, because they can't do anything without me. I don't know what the deal is there. So as soon as service is over, I will cut my sermon down, and you all said, amen. Yeah. Few of you, and thank you, it's reassuring. And then I'm gonna rush to the airport and catch a plane and fly out, but I will come back for the actual 50th wedding anniversary, but that'll give me a little time to think what I'm supposed to do when I have a 50th wedding. I looked at the picture of my grandparents when they turned for their 50th. I was in high school, standing in the back with my cousins, and we were having to dress up in suits and all that kind of stuff for them. And I looked at my grandparents, and they really looked old. They looked so old, they didn't even sit next to each other. We never could figure that out as a family. Why my grandparents on their 50th had Uncle Bill sitting in between them. That never made quite sense to me. All right. In a moment, I'm going to read from Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. The two words, welcome home, hit me really hard. When I came back from an international trip with Joy and a group of young leaders from Oregon. Now, historically, we initiated what we call the Young Leaders Initiative in the Oregon Ministry Network, where we selected young leaders, people like Heather, who served, Pastor Heather, and now Jason is going to be a young leader this next year. They actually come and serve with us in our presbytery, and then at the end of that year of service, we go somewhere in the world for them to understand what rural missions is all about. What we discovered that a lot of our younger leaders didn't understand the fantastic impact the Assemblies of God, which you are a part of, has made around the world today. And the stories of God's grace and provision. And so we had taken one of these trips. We actually went to East Africa and went to countries I'd never been to. Got to go to Zanzibar and learn some of the history of Zanzibar, preach in a great church about this size, right in the heart of a Muslim community. And they had been firebombed, they had had all kinds of issues, but people came to know the Lord, went out into various locations and saw the work of God, went to a beautiful place, famous animal reserve, Masai Mara, and saw animals up close, I mean really close. It made the Portland Zoo look a little pathetic, I just got to tell you that. And then we get on a plane and it takes forever to get home. It just, you know, you're excited about going, but then you get on a plane and you think, like how many hours? And it was, you know, a full 24 plus hours of travel. And I remember I was dead tired. I came off the plane here in Portland. You get on a bus, they take you around the airport and they come in a secret door, and there you stand in line. And the agent at the door, when he saw me, he said to me these words. He said, welcome home. And it was, the excitement of travel was great, but there was something about the words welcome home that made me feel comfortable and relaxed. And finally, I could get home to my own house and my own bed and have food that I knew what I was eating. You know, that camel milk tea is not my favorite. I just got to tell you right now. That's how I felt this morning when I walked into this building. I woke up very early this morning and I thought, I'm going to my church family today and I'm going to feel like I'm at home. Last week I was in another church speaking. It had been arranged months ago and that's why I wasn't here, and I'm grateful for my good friend Byron Klaus, who spoke, did a phenomenal job, and extraordinary mind to be around him is always iron sharpens iron to me. But I felt I'm home. I'm not just a guest this morning. I'm home. There's things that make a church healthy and that make a church strong. And one of them is, of course, worship. When we look up to the Lord as we did this morning and we worship God for who he is and we praise him for what he has done. And in my darkest hours, in your darkest hours, there's something about the praise of the Lord. When my sister was in a coma for 30 days after being hit by a train in a car, my mom prayed every day, sat by her bedside, and played music, worship music, because she knew that in the subconscious, although my sister, she wasn't sure, could communicate, she knew that in the presence of God, there would be some connection. And every healthy church should be a worshiping church. And as you remember a couple of weeks ago, it wasn't just singing songs, it's serving and it's sharing that is worship. And last Sunday, you see another element of a strong, healthy church, and that's the instruction where you look within and allow the Word of God to get into your heart and change you. Sometimes it's very comforting, and frankly, I got to tell you, listen real closely. When I read the Bible, sometimes I'm deeply convicted. I'm deeply convicted because I realize that my life is in progress still. And I realize that I need the Word of God to not only encourage me, but sometimes bring some significant changes in my life. I bring you to another very important element, virtue, a mainstay of a healthy church. And all of us want to be in a healthy church. The world needs healthy churches. Portland, Oregon needs healthy churches. And Portland Christian Center, you want to be a healthy church. So what I'm going to talk about for the next few minutes, we could spend hours on it, I promise you we could, but we won't today. I'll give you enough to let the Lord take you beyond what I say this morning. But is fellowship, everybody say fellowship. There's a great a Greek word, we don't use it a lot now, but back in the 70s it became very popular, called koinonia, and that is the Greek word for fellowship. I put it this way, two fellas in a ship. That's how I remember what fellowship's about. It's not just about me, it's about other people. And so Hebrews chapter 10 gives us a great text to read. I want you to stand with me this morning, if you will, as we read a few verses here from Hebrews 10. Verse number 19. Now, the book of Hebrews is about the superiority of Jesus. There are always discussions, especially in Bible colleges and seminaries, who actually wrote, was the writing or the pen writer of the book of Hebrews. That probably doesn't matter. It could be Paul, and many of us lean that way. But listen to the words that the Holy Spirit downloads to the writer. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. So, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of what? The blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened up a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. So we're opened up now, and we can walk into the Holy of Holies because of Jesus, into the presence of God. You don't have to be a priest. You walk right into his presence. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, Then he says in verse number 22, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty conscience have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. So you get this idea that God has transformed us so that we can be in the holy presence of God. Now I come to verse 23, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Verse 24, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Verse number 25, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Father, speak to our hearts beyond Bill Wilson's skill and ability. And I just pray that you will help us understand the value of fellowship in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. Fellowship. Two fellows in a ship. Koinonia. I love recalling stories about this church. And for those who've been around, it probably means more to you than those who've never been here before or new. But there was a guy by the name of Michael who moved from another country, another continent, to come here to pursue his education and to secure a lifetime employment with a major company. The education had to come first. And so before he left his home church in his country, he went to his pastor, and his pastor had a word from the Lord for him. He was nervous about it. His family wasn't here. He was going to come on his own. He was young, 19 years old, 18 years old. And so he came to the United States. But before he left, his pastor prayed over him and gave him a word. What I mean by it, gave him a word, the Lord gave him, the pastor, a prophetic declaration. This happens from time to time, and it's for the purpose of edification, not correction. It's a purpose of uplift. And so the Lord gave him a word, and he shared it with Michael. And Michael took it and got it into his spirit because he was really nervous about coming to America. And so when he got to Portland, Oregon, where he was going to pursue his education, he looked through what was in those days social media, the newspaper, and he found an ad for Portland Christian Center, and something he sensed he should come here. But, you know, I don't know if you remember the first time you ever came here. Some of you were born here, so you've been here all your life. And in fact, your parents have tried to leave here several times. But in any case, coming for the first time can be a little intimidating. I got to tell you that. Even if you've been here many times and you got to do something, it could be intimidating. Pastor Jason's very encouraged and said, I hope you're not nervous this morning. And every Sunday I'm nervous, but that, you know, it's a different kind of nervous, you know. So anyway, I told him, if I can't finish, the notes are right here. Come on up. So anyway, he came in and he sat right over here. And first of all, when he walked through the door, there were smiling people. Isn't that good? Now, that would give you a clue that this is okay to come to. People welcomed him. I don't know if they said welcome home, but they did say welcome. Nice to have you here today. And he came over, and he was very nervous, and he sat down. And somebody had handed him, like what's on your seat there in front of you, what we called a bulletin in those days or an information update. And he sat down, and as soon as he looked at it, he'll never forget what he saw. He'll never forget what he saw. And I don't want you to forget the concept of a healthy church is fellowship, captured in just a few lines here in Hebrews chapter 10, where it says in verse 25, and let us not neglect our meeting together. Koinonia, fellowship, two fellows in a ship. Now the culture in the last 24 months has pushed us apart and divided us. But the Bible teaches us to come together and be united. That's the word of the Lord. The result is that isolation. But God's intent is for us to be united because we need each other. And let us not neglect our meeting together, fellowship, two fellows in a ship. You'll be looking for that in the Bible, I'm sure. How is authentic fellowship, or what we'll call community, which is another key word, described in the Bible? The Bible describes it, interestingly enough, this word, koinonia, or fellowship, is not just a casual knowledge of people. It's not like just going to a party and saying, hey, I saw John there, I saw Sue over here. Good to see you guys. How's it going? Good, good, good. Nice to see you again. The kids are all right? Yeah, they're okay. How's the job? It's, you know, it's the job. Where are you going on vacation? Oh, you really are? That's great. God bless you. It's not that kind. It's actually much deeper than that. The word fellowship in Scripture is a deep soul to soul. It's a spiritual concept. Healthy churches have developed connections that are beyond the surface, like going to a concert, on the surface of like going to a convention, on the surface like going to a sales show or a car show or some kind of other show. It's much deeper than that. It's fellowship. It's a concept of Scripture that brings us closer and closer together. Now, Vance Packer says Americans are a nation of strangers. Someone has said Americans are the loneliest people in the world. Now, I don't know all that. You know, I could be, you know, maybe whatever they say on the internet is probably true. So the reality is, though, it's possible to be in a crowd and not be connected. It's possible to be in this service and not be connected. So have you ever gone to the airport where you have to catch a shuttle bus to get a rental car? And all these people come in with all these big bags, and you look around and you realize there's more people than there are seats. And I'm at the point where people get up for me now. I don't know why. Here, sir, can I help you? Here, I say, take my bag. Yeah, take it. It's fine. And then, you know, because I realize that a shuttle bus is not the place where you go around and shake everybody's hand and try to meet them and find out where they were born. That kind of stuff. You don't do that. Sometimes you just have to sit quietly and hope that nobody talks to you. You know what I'm saying? There is that kind of cultural shift, but the Bible describes it differently. In fact, I'm going to just run through four things that the Bible describes the church in fellowship, what it should look like, and describes it in pictures. The first picture is it's like being a brick in a building. Ephesians chapter 2, and I won't read the entire text, verses 20 through 22, but it says, and in him, at the final part of this little section, in him you are to be, and in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. In other words, we're connected together like a building, like a brick. This church is filled with bricks. You know, you got the ones you see, but these blocks that were laid here, this is a block wall. These are block buildings. There's some wood in the gymnasium side and over here in the chapel side, but much of this building is just simply cinder block put together piece by piece. And the Bible says that we're like that. We're blocks that are built together. Turn to the person next to you, blockhead, and you know. So we're like that. Here's what we need, is we need each other's emotional and spiritual support. Fellowship is about being supportive of one another. So he describes that. It's like a physical picture. The second description is he says that we're like being parts of a body. So a Romans chapter 12, it says, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. That means as body parts or body, he takes the body and he says, we're different members. We're all different. We're not all the same. In fact, you can turn to the person next to you and say, you are really different. Here's a better word. Here's a better word, unique. Yeah, that's a better word. You're unique. You're not weird. You're just unique. And the reality is that's wonderful because iron sharpens iron. So Your part in the body of Christ, my part of the body of Christ, helps us be together. It's a picture, again, a describing fellowship. A third description, and I'm not sure you're going to like this one, but we are sheep in a flock. We're a sheep in a flock. Psalm 110, verse 3, know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Now, that doesn't sound very appealing to me because, you know, although in Portland, we probably don't know a lot about sheep. If you've been around them, they've got their issues. But Psalm 23 and John 10 and other places, you read these wonderful verses that describe us as sheep and remind us of the great shepherd who cares for us, meets our needs. Jesus is the great chief shepherd, and He raises up under shepherds in our midst in a fellowship to care for us. And there are people who are extremely gifted in the giving of care. And He raises up pastors and deacons and discipleship leaders and small group care groups and volunteers and caregivers. We discover that people help people. And although hurt people hurt people, people who are healthy can also help hurt people. And we are like sheep who need a shepherd. We're part of a flock, so that's the third. Are you with me so far? So we're like a building, we're like a body, we're like a flock. And then He says, we're like family. We're like family. 1 Peter 2:17, respect everyone and love the family of believers. There's the word. It's repeated again in Galatians 6:10, the family of believers. That's why in the context in which I grew up and some of you as well, we called everybody brother and sister. And I kind of like it in some ways because then I don't have to remember anybody's name. So it just works out really well, huh? In fact, I have a friend of mine, every time he sees me, I'll see him tomorrow at a meeting in Springfield, Missouri. He'll say, hey, brother. I call him by name, hey, Sam, it's Bill. All right, so, you know, oh, that's right, brother. But it's an expression of affection. It's not like, you know, I don't remember your name. And actually, that was the intent, that we're in this together. We're brothers and sisters, a fellowship, two fellows in a ship, and we're moving the same direction. We're asking God to help us. Recently, one of our deacons spent the morning helping a seasoned citizen who was having problems with their computer. I'm not going to tell you who it is because you'll be calling them up and asking them to come over. But I just thought to myself as they were sharing with me their assignment for the day, that's what the body of Christ is all about. It's not just about hugging each other on Sunday or singing the same song or at least trying to remember the words to the new song that I never heard before or anything like that. It's like, it's helping each other with the practical. We're part of the family of God. This church has been blessed with so many people who've spoken into my life and into your life. I just thought of one as I was thinking about this segment of the description of the body of Christ. Maxine DeVries, Sister Maxine. She's gone to be with Jesus. I said to Linda, her daughter, who is usually sitting over here, so I think you're over here somewhere. I said, you know, I'm going to talk about your mom on Sunday. And I said, what an angel. You know, some people are perfect, and then there's the rest of us, right? Yeah, so Maxine, for some of you, she held you when you were a baby because she worked in the nursery. She worked at Hilltop. She worked in the kitchen. Some of you are well-fed because of Maxine. She cleaned the toilets and the sinks and the carpets. She answered the phone and asked people, say, how do you get to Portland Christian Center? This is before, you know, you could just speak into your phone and they would take you the wrong direction. So, you know, she would say, now this is where you go. She was at the door as a greeter. At Christmas time, she took care of tickets for concerts. Maxine DeVries. There are many Maxine DeVries. I just don't have pictures of everybody. She took care of all three of our children. And if I mention her name today, you know what they call her? Grandma Maxine. Grandma Maxine. Because we didn't have at that time a grandma here. And she said, I'll be your grandma. And she said that to you too. That is part of the fellowship of Jesus Christ, the church, the community. And that's why we need each other. And the Bible describes these four areas of what the church is all about. So not only the authentic fellowship is described, but what makes a church authentic? Well, look at verse 25 again, but I'm going to read from a different version now. Some of you think the sacred version, New International Version. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. But let us encourage one another. See, we all need food. My wife tells me I need vitamins and minerals. I certainly need air, and I love sunshine, don't you? I sat in the sunshine for a few moments. It was freezing cold, but man, it was the sunshine. I was going to sit out there. We need that. But I want to tell you, you need fellowship as much as you need vitamin C or D or all the other vitamins that are on the list. And here's Hebrews 10. Look at this. It gives us these fellowship statements and helps us understand what authentic fellowship is all about. Look at it. Verse 22. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. This is the common desire. We're all here because we want to get closer to God. And then verse number 23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. Our common determination is we're not going to get distracted or get off course. We're determined to follow the Lord no matter what happens. Verse 24, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Our common dedication is that we want to encourage one another to serve the Lord as much as we can and cheer them on. Look at verse number 25, let us not give up meeting together. Here's our common devotion. We are devoted. Notice they all start with D, isn't that interesting? The common devotion is we are devoted to not giving up meeting together. And finally, verse 25, let us encourage one another and all the more as you see the day approaching. And if you're not alert, if you have been on a vacation and somewhere where there's no technology, the world is in a mess right now. And everybody's trying to figure out, is this World War III or whatever? Listen, we're getting closer to the return of Jesus Christ. And we have a common dependence. We need each other to make it. We cannot go it alone. I think of scores of times where people in this church, as this morning took place, where people came and said, hey, would you pray with me about? And in one of my darkest moments, I still remember where I was and what was happening. And a friend of mine who was with me said, Bill, are you okay? And I said, well, to be honest, no. It's a dark time in my life. And this is what he said. Well, let me pray with you. He didn't try to psychoanalyze me. He didn't even ask me what was going on. He just said, let me pray with you. And he prayed with me, and it made all the difference in the world. Yesterday, I was with a friend of mine, and we talked for about an hour, and then we said, well, we got to go. We got stuff going on, and got to get home and take out the garbage and mow the lawn and wash the car and polish the shoes and do all those things that were on the list. When you've been married 50 years, the list gets longer. I'm just telling you that right now. But my friend said to me, hey, before we go, let's pray together. And there we were out in the open and everybody could see. We took hands and we prayed together. He prayed for me and I prayed for him. We need that right now, don't we? We need that. We need the prayer of each other. The fellowship of one another. You know why? Because we're not perfect. The only perfect person I ever met in my life besides Maxine DeVries was my mother-in-law, and they're both in heaven right now, so we're kind of stuck with us. This is it. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you ever been offended in the fellowship? Has the fellowship ever been fractured by offense? So, you know, in this normal job, the other job that I have, I travel the state quite a bit, and we go to places I've not really been very often, but I was asked to go and speak at a church. It's an agricultural community. It's not that big. It's, you know, I mentioned the name, you'd know where it is, but I was driving in a way I'd never driven before, and I come up into the community. Just before on the outskirts of town, I look, and there's a beautiful building, a beautiful building, and I look, and it's a church, and it's called Hope Church. I said, look at that. And there were cars out front, and I thought, that's a beautiful building, and so on. And then to my shock, less than half a block on the right hand was, this was Hope Church, New Hope Fellowship on this side. Beautiful building, lots of cars. I thought, that's interesting. They both have similar names, and they're across the street from each other. So I drove, now I'm beginning to wonder, I know there's a story behind this somewhere. So I get to the church I'm speaking in, and the pastor greets me, we talk for a minute. I say, I got a question. When I came into town, I saw Hope Church, and then I looked across the street, and there's New Hope Fellowship. What's the story? He said, well, a number of years ago, the church had a church fight and split. Oh, my heart sank. So people from Hope Church went across the street and built New Hope Fellowship, underscoring the fellowship, I'm sure. And I said, Pastor Mark, what happened? He said, this is the sad thing. We don't live in a big community. Everybody knows about this. He said, the sad thing, nobody can remember what the split was over. He said, somebody said they might have thought it was over the color of carpet. I don't know. I thought, what a testimony to the body of Christ. Two fellows in a ship. Once in a while, people offend them, each other. Now, I've been in this thing for 50 years preaching, 70 years in church attendance. So I get all that because I've been in church all my life, and I know I have been offended. Are you with me? In those years, people have offended me. They have said things to me about the way I dressed, the way I spoke, words that I misspelled. There was a lady in this church for years who would meet me at the front door, and the reason she met me there to tell me the word I misspoke when I preached. Now, she's not here anymore, thank the Lord. One time a lady stopped me, not in this church, but another one said, you know, Pastor Bill, I preached my heart out. I gave him the best stuff I had, preached my heart out. And she said, you know, someday you might be a good preacher. So, you know, what do you do with that stuff? Now, here's the confession. Bill Wilson has offended lots of people. Not intentionally. I didn't mean to do that, but it happened. Early on, I learned some real serious lessons about offense. And I realized, two fellows in the ship, once in a while when you're in close proximity of another person and you're trying to get something done, you're going to have some conflict. And so the one thing I don't like about my job is I have to go and put out fires I never started. I like starting fires, but putting them out is not as fun. I remember somebody came into my office and said, you know, in this church, and I'm only sharing this stuff because it's a long time ago. It's not like right now, but a long time ago. He had done business with somebody in the church, and he felt like the business person had ripped him off. So he comes in, and he starts this long list of all the things that had gone wrong. And then he pounded his fist on my desk, your desk, the church's desk, and said, you got to fix this. That was a fun day. First of all, I didn't really understand what the offense was, but you see, this can happen in families and so on. So I'm going to give you a plan. This is the plan to follow. But in any case, I was supposed to fix something that had happened between two other people that I had no connection with other than the fact that they came occasionally to Portland Christian Center. So I thought to myself, what is the proper way when I'm offended or I offend someone else, how should I respond? Are you ready? I'm going to give it to you. The words of Jesus. So you're probably familiar, you've heard it, Matthew 18. Okay, let's look at what it says. Because in fellowship, if you think Joy and I have had a sweet, sweet marriage all of our 50 years, you're absolutely right. Have we had conflict? Have we had conflict? Joy says yes very quickly. I was kind of thinking, well, maybe I shouldn't say anything. I don't know. So there are natural relational stresses and strains that come. And that would happen. That's happened here. It's happened other places. Here's the way I feel based on what Jesus said. What do you do? First of all, if you've been offended, you're to go to that person privately who's offended you. Look at Matthew 18:15. Now, if your brother's sin against you, we'll just take that in all-inclusive. If your brothers or sisters sin against you, go and tell them their fault between you and him alone or her alone. And if he listens, you have gained your brother. So oftentimes, this can solve the conflict. So if Jason and I have an offense, he said something about me I don't like, and I said something about him, we come together and we have a frank Christian conversation, and we solve it. We don't invite other people into the conflict, you see. That's what Jesus said is the first step you should take. And in most cases, that takes care of it. But if it doesn't happen that way, Jesus said, okay, if that doesn't happen, you include a friend, a trusted friend. Look at verse 16 in Matthew 18. I'm giving you a pattern to follow here that's, I think, very helpful for a fellowship. But if he does not listen, so that you go to the person, they don't listen to you, then take with you one or two others that by the testimony of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. Now, I'm not reading into this at all, but I'm just saying that there are godly, trusted friends who can help in mediating between two brothers or sisters who've had conflict. This has happened in marriages. This has happened in families. This has happened in business. This can happen in a variety of ways where a trusted friend, a godly person can come and help walk it through. It's not unbiblical. It's the right thing to do. You follow me? Pastor, what if that doesn't work? Then Jesus said, here's what you do. Verse 17, if he refuses or she refuses to listen to the counsel that's been given, tell it to the church. But if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Now, here's how I interpret that. This is the Bill Wilson interpretation. And maybe not everybody would agree with this. But in context like this, I believe that speaks of when you tell it to the church, you're talking to the leaders of the church, the elders of the church, the deacons of the church, or those of pastors of the church. So you come before a group of leaders in the local church. And you believe that in that context, there can be clarity and healing. That's the goal, restoration. The world says retaliate. Jesus says restore. The world says get everything you can out of them. And Jesus says look for a path of reconciliation. That's what the Bible says in fellowship when there is conflict. So if everybody would listen to this, my job would be a lot easier in the network. My job would be a lot easier all across the country when I have to be involved, because it's this simple step. And oftentimes steps are skipped, and that's where it becomes a problem. Now, this is the spirit in which you're supposed to create these opportunities of fellowship. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 2 and 3. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making an allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourself together with peace. You say, well, that's one verse. Let me give you another one. Romans chapter 12. Never pay back evil with more evil. This is verse 17. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Verse 18, do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. So I was in a church. Pastor's pretty bold. There were at least 2,000 people in the service. And I'll just use a general name. And if it's your name, I apologize. John Smith, stand up. So John Smith stood up. Nobody applauded. See that man right there? I'm pointing over here because that's where he was sitting. Not necessarily that's the group over here. I'm not talking about that, but I'll point up here. Okay, so John Smith, stand up. Everybody was looking at John Smith, and this is what the pastor said publicly in front of 2,000 people. John Smith is a crook. Don't do business with him. Sit down, John Smith. Wouldn't you like to go to a church like that? I was on staff. That's where the public excommunication took place that day. I'm glad that I don't have to call out John Smith. Don't get nervous. Nobody get nervous this morning. I'm just saying that in fellowship, sometimes there can be conflict and it can be fractured. But we as a church, listen, I'm calling you today, we as a church must avoid that kind of reaction and believe that in the spirit of love and humility, that God will keep us in fellowship with one another. Does that make sense? That makes sense. So what is this fellowship, this koinonia? This koinonia, how do we stay authentic as a fellowship? First, number one, and I'm gonna finish up here because the plane engine just started. All right. Stay connected. Jesus told us to stay connected. We were born to belong in the body of Christ. It begins by humbling yourself before God. See, there's a first birth. Now listen, for some of you watching and listening this morning, there's also a second birth. I often say, where were you born? They'll say, the town. And I say, well, where were you born again? And they look, what? Jesus said, you must be born again. You must be born again. That's the beginning of being connected. And you want to stay connected through the birth of rebirth of your life in Jesus Christ. Secondly, stay committed. You were created for community, and community calls for commitment. The Bible teaches us that a Christian without a church home is like a heart without a body, a child without a family. Real fellowship is more than just showing up. It's experiencing life together. And in my 50 years of pastoring, and I don't want to over-exaggerate that, but in my years of pastoring, we'll just leave it like that, forget the 50. Satan loves to detach believers, and I've seen it, and it's very, very painful. But on the other hand, the Holy Spirit loves to bring people together of all walks and not let anyone get isolated or left behind because he loves us and we were made for that. And stay compassionate and caring. You were formed for fellowship. Do you know in the Bible that there are 58 one another's mentioned phrases? 58 times in the New Testament. And it is in the church that we are to find love and encouragement and support, and on it goes. A young lady who's pregnant out of wedlock, in years past, the church kind of shunned her. Portland Christian Center welcomed them in and get around them. The parent that's going through a trauma because their child has been expelled from school or has had trouble in learning, get around them and support them. The wife who just lost her husband of many years and finding her way, trying to figure out, where do I fit now? I've always had somebody sitting next to me, and now what do I do? You get around them and support them. That young single college student who comes into the building and is uncertain of what their future looks like, you welcome them home. For that young couple who's trying to raise three kids on, you know, $40,000 a year, and the house payments are $1,500 to $2,000 a month, and it's just like, where are we going to get the money to do what we need to do? You get around them and you support them. For those of you who have been injured and hurt, we get around and walk you through that healing. This church has seen many marriages saved. This church has seen many people delivered and brought to wholeness. This church has walked people through brokenheartedness, misunderstandings, and failures in a variety of ways. That's why you can say, welcome home to the family. You're here because we love you and we welcome you. And it comes out of compassion and care for one another. I give you a last scripture that I'd like to read for you, and then I'll finish up the Mike story in just a moment. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. The sound and tech crew said, Pastor Bill, you got so many scriptures. I said, I'm going to go through as many as I can, and some I'll have to leave out. But here's one that I didn't want to leave out. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievance you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Hallelujah, he forgave me. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, it goes on to say, since as the members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. You see, I love fellowship. I love fellowship. There are times when I like to be on my own. I have an uncle who has an anxiety with crowds, so he would feel very uncomfortable being in a crowd like that. I get that. except go one-on-one, and I can't shut him up. He just goes on and on and on. I'm thinking, bring some more people in here, and maybe he'll slow down. He goes on and on, but he's a wonderful man. But we all need fellowship. We were designed for it. And some of his anxiety is because he got hurt deeply in large crowds. He became concerned that he wasn't in control of the situation. Church of Jesus Christ, we are a fellowship. We are key to that for health is fellowship. So when Michael came through the door and walked over here and sat down and he took the bulletin, as we referred to it, and he looked at it, this is what it said. The church where love is. And his pastor in South Africa, before he left his home country, said, I'm praying, Mike, that when you go to the United States and to Portland specifically, you'll find a church where love is. And when he saw that bulletin, you know what he said? I'm home. I'm home. And unbeknownst to many of you, you surrounded this young man with love. You can leave that picture up there for a moment. He resounded that family, that young man with love. And you know what? He started coming faithfully. And you know what? He met Laura. And you know what? They got married. And you know what? They got kids. He certainly found the church where love is, that's for sure. And it started with you as a church welcoming somebody who had never been here before. A few years ago, they had to relocate. They don't live in the area anymore, but I captured that picture because I wanted you to see that's what fellowship is all about. So if you're single this morning, stick around. Don't be in a hurry. If they're not here, pray them in. No better place to meet the future 50-year-old partner than their 50-year partner than right here at Portland Christian Center. If you've been hurt, and we all have, if you felt the pain of a broken relationship, and we've all experienced that, if you have been fractured by fellowship, I ask that God will heal you and that you will not let that hold you back from being what God wants you to be and what the church needs today. Jesus prayed that we would love each other in John 17. And that out of that love, we would attract many to be part of what we call the Church of Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we have quickly covered some very significant and deep pieces that we all need to hear. And I pray, Lord, that this fellowship will be strong and healthy. And I pray for those that are here today who feel brokenness, disappointment, hurt, things that may have been said, things that they thought they heard, whatever it might be, Lord, that that's set aside and you by your Holy Spirit come and strengthen us. I believe you want to do marvelous things in all of our lives. And so for the fractures, the hurts, the sleeplessness, the pain, bring healing in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray as we sang earlier, may the miracle of your love flow in our hearts. Now, if you're here today and you've never accepted Christ, I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer. It's the first step to fellowship, true fellowship, not just a party, but true fellowship, lasting fellowship, life-changing fellowship. It's a simple prayer. You can pray it out loud. Everybody join, and those who are praying for the first time online or here can simply pray this prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I surrender my life to you. Forgive me of my sin. And make me the person you want me to be. I will follow you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Receive that this morning. Say amen.
And I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will build my life, and I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken.
There is no one like you.
There is none beside you. Open up my eyes and
let God just pull your life.
Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those. You are holy, holy. There is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and give you peace in your coming and going. When you walk through those doors, may you know you don't go by yourself. You go with him. And if God is for us, who can be against us? Turn to the person next to you and say, I think I like you a little bit more than I did when I came. God bless you. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you'd like to hear more or learn more about us, visit our website at pcctoday.com. Or join us for our live streams at the 9 or 11 a.m. at live.pcctoday.com.